Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast, the podcast that empowers you to take control of your financial future, diversify your income, and achieve the financial freedom you deserve. If you're tired of the stock market and the roller coaster ride or seeking an alternative way to build wealth, well, you're in the right place. Every week, we like to dive into the world of alternative investments, exploring innovative strategies, and uncovering hidden gems that help you generate passive income, protect your hard-earned money, and plan for a hopefully comfortable retirement. Our focus and mission, of course, is to demystify the world of investing and breaking down the complex concepts into simple, actionable steps that you can apply to your own financial journey. So today, we are going to talk about what is the capital stack? And the simplest way I like to look at the capital stack is, you know, it's structured as a layered cake, and each layer represents a different type of financial investment in a project, or for us, real estate, a property. And the layers are arranged based on the order of priority or prepayment, as well as, most importantly, risk. Now, making the cake, at the base, we have that most secure layer, which typically is senior debt. It's typically the largest portion of financing, and it's secured by the asset itself. Like real estate and property investments, if things go south, senior debt is typically the first to get paid from any proceeds or liquidation. And I don't like using the word safe, but it has the lowest risk for an investor because of the security. But as with all lower risk, typically offers lower returns, which is generally mirroring or slightly above interest rates. So being at that lowest level typically is senior debt, but we'll get into other aspects. But typically, again, the lower you're on the cake, the lower the risk. On top of that next layer, in many instances, is what's called the mezzanine debt. Now, this sits between senior debt, and above it is typically the equity layers. It's a form of debt that can convert into equity if the loan isn't paid back as agreed. And these types of loans are extremely risky. It's more riskier than a senior debt because they're typically not backed by the physical real estate. And as a result, they're going to offer higher returns to compensate for this increased risk. So think of it as a middle ground. It's not as secure as senior debt, but also not as risky as next level of, you know, the cake. Now, above that mezzanine layer is typically preferred equity. Now, you hear us talk about our fund a lot, how our investors have preferred equity, but we don't have senior debt, so they are at the lowest. In a typical real estate transaction, that preferred equity has sometimes characteristics of both debt and equity. They will get paid out returns before the common equity holders, but only after all the debts have been satisfied. So it's less risky than the common equity, because the preferential payouts often come with a fixed rate of return. Again, as an example, in 7E, our investors have preferred equity. Now, we don't have any senior debt, so there's nothing there to get paid as of this recording in April of 2024, stipulate that. And we don't plan on taking on senior debt, but I do want to just make sure we date this. So there's no debt layers there. So preferred equity is basically now down at the bottom. They get their interest, the common equity, which myself and Lauren currently hold. No, we don't get anything until after preferred equity gets everything they need, which is, again, at that top layer, which is that common equity. And those common equity holders are last in the line of payment meaning they typically bear the most risk. In many instances, it also comes with the greatest potential for reward. So in a successful investment, after everything is paid off, common equity holders can see that return. One of the things we really like to talk about in our forum posts and on our podcast, as well as on our webinars, when we talk about understanding capital stack, as well as just investing in general, is balancing that risk and return. Because each layer has its own sets of risk and potential rewards. And investors need to understand where they fit within the structure. Now, it's a fundamental principle that can help you guide your investment strategy and decision-making process. And I'll give an example later on that talks about some scenarios just to understand, because sometimes people only look at the number that they might achieve for return without understanding what that stack looks like. Let's dive again deeper into these layers again and back to senior debt. In traditional real estate, it is that bedrock of the capital stack. It's typically the most secure, and it's typically a bank that steps in and provides that senior debt. And if that investment does go south, that senior debt, say the bank, are first in line to be paid back from the sale of that asset. Now, the risk is typically on the lower end from the other, of course, areas in that capital stack. Each investment will have its own level of risk, which again, why banks are happy at getting the interest rate on the loan, because they're that first in line. Now, mezzanine debt, again, going back to that next layer, is typically, I've seen it in the past on the private side. For example, I was building a condo building and the owner had the bank debt in the senior position and got mezzanine debt on the deal, which the rates were in the high teens, and it wasn't secured by technically the property. It was, if the owner developer failed, they could step in and just take over the project. So it was basically they're buying out the owner as part of that. So that's one of the interesting features about mezzanine, is its ability to convert to equity. They typically cannot foreclose on the asset. They just step in and take the equity. So you typically don't see it too often nowadays. It was big about 20 years ago, and maybe it will make a comeback, but I haven't seen too much of it recently based on the capital stacks we've seen, which on traditional real estate has been more of the senior debt, preferred equity, and then common equity. Now, again, going back to that preferred equity, it really is where most people who invest in a fund or syndication are today. Now, understand, in preferred equity, these payments are not guaranteed. So in senior debt, you know, if there's a default, senior debt will step in, could foreclose on the property, and use that property as that asset. Preferred equity, and a lot of people are learning the hard way today in many offerings, you know, there's no guarantee, and there's, you know, the potential that your equity gets completely wiped out if property values drop and there is no equity left in that property. So something that people really need to understand on preferred equity is, it's great to say, oh, I have preferred equity, but going back to it, what is in front of you? So, and this is one of the reasons why we really like to talk about this layer within our offering, is because that preferred equity, again, at this time, has no senior debt in front of it, and we don't plan on having any senior debt. So it puts the investors first within the entire portfolio of the assets we hold. And then again, above that is that common equity component, that if it's successful, that there's that upside. So some of the strategies and understanding risk profile, risk tolerance. Hope I explained it well to everyone, where you fall on that capital stack. And again, typically the lower in the capital stack means typically the lower the risk, but also typically the lower potential returns. Now, as an investor, are you conservative, you know, and you prefer security, or are you a gambler and want the higher returns? Are you willing to take on more risk for the potential of greater gains? But knowing where you stand on the spectrum, it's crucial before deciding which layer of the stack aligns with your investment objectives. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly, with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@7einvestments.com to learn more. Thank you. So understanding that component and then the diversification, again, is another key principle in investing. And if you're investing in an offering within, you know, where you're at in the capital stack, also understand, you know, the asset, but other assets, because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Not only do you not want to put your eggs in one basket, you don't want to invest in the same layer of the capital stack, you know, throughout your investment portfolio. You can balance portfolios overall, again, risk and return. For instance, you might want to mix some preferred equity that doesn't have debt with some common equity or preferred equity as significant debt. And that preferred equity with no debt will provide you a lower yield, but it should bring in more consistent cash flow, allow you also to take a little bit more of a risk. Were you thinking about stocks and how those work? You know, if you have a 401k, you know, there's the higher risk stocks, and then there's more conservative like the bonds. You know, very similar with stocks, you want value risk profile. It is the same in real estate investing because each layer of the stack does influence that overall risk and return profile of your investment. And I'll say it again, you know, that lower you are in the stack should provide greater level of protection and regular income compared to up in the chain, which you might not see any type of returns till the exit of that asset. Let's talk about some examples. And what does this look like? I'll start with a real estate deal. And imagine you're considering investing in a multifamily building and it's a $10 million acquisition. And the sponsor says, okay, here's a capital stack structure. I'm getting a $6 million loan from XYZ Bank. And then I'm going to have $4 million of equity. And I'll do a $2 million in a preferred equity and $2 million in common equity. Now, preferred equity is giving a pref of, you know, 8% flat across board. Common equity might be a 5 pref, but 50% of the upside. And I'm just using these as examples. And you as an investor, you have 100 grand and you want to invest. And you're deciding where you want to invest in that capital stack layer. Do you want to invest in the pref, you know, that is between 60 and 80% loan to value, and, you know, potentially get a higher initial distribution, but not share in any of that upside? Or you want less preferred return, but participate more in that upside? There is no right or wrong answer. It's what fits you. Now, let's say they didn't have a bank loan and they were getting senior debt also from investors. That investors could be that senior debt. And maybe it went 10%, 8%, 5%. You know, again, it really is focused depending on what you're looking for. Now here comes the big but. Let's take the same deal that has, call it $6 million in senior debt, $2 million in preferred equity, and $2 million in common equity. And again, the debt is paying 8%. Preferred equity is giving 10%, and common equity is giving 6 plus upside. Now, I also see deals where people basically look at it and say, oh, I can get this much from this deal, but also realize you're in a equity position versus kind of a debt position, or you're higher on the chain. And I'll use example with our fund because it's an easy one that pops in my head. You know, we have anywhere from 8 to 11% preferred to our investors, and we have no debt. So they are essentially, you know, if you looked at a multifamily deal, in a senior debt position on the capital stack. And I've seen other deals where there's debt in place, and then they do have the preferred equity, but there's significant debt in place. Let's say there's 65% debt. So they make up the area between 65 and 100% of the deal, and they can get, instead of 8 to 11, they can get 10 to 12. And question then comes up, okay, you got $100,000 to invest. Would you rather have 10% and be at the lowest in the capital stack, or be at 12% and be higher up in the capital stack? Now, if you're risk averse and prioritize security, you know, investing lower in the stack might be your best option. It does in this instance offer slightly lower returns, but less higher degree of, I don't want to use the term safety, but it's less risk compared to being, you know, behind somebody else. Now, if you're seeing the higher returns and are comfortable with that risk, that could be appealing, you know, because it's giving you that higher interest. Now, if you look at a traditional bank, what do they consider a good spread between a first and second position? Now, right now, it's probably about a 4% spread. What you'll see a bank, 3 to 4%. My guess where you'll see, you know, a first position lien versus a kind of a line of credit or a second, that's at 65 to, and they won't even go typically to 100% equity. So if you're looking at 1 to 2% delta, well, banks see it as 3 to 4. And I would have to think the banks have pretty good algorithms to kind of understand their level of risk and understand the level of defaults. So is 2% good for you or not? So things to understand between that. So as we wrap up, again, try to unravel these layers of the capital stack and understand where you are in them and how each layer can represent a different level of risk and return. Because it's so important for you as an investor, understand where you are within the structure and make sure that it aligns with your risk tolerance and your financial goals. So it doesn't matter whether you prefer more security at being lower on the capital stack or the higher reward of being higher on at the capital stack. Because the world of investing is dynamic, it's multifaceted, and we always want people to continue exploring and learning. So whether it's a deeper dive into capital stack or any other aspect of real estate, you know, every step hopefully brings you to more proficiency as an investor. And the last thing I'll mention about the capital stack, because we see this a lot in what we invest in, the mortgage note space. Many offerings will say we invest in first position liens, which most do. And we invest in secured debt, which most do. But understand, just because that's what they invest in, that doesn't mean that's what you are investing in. Let me give you an example. There's, I believe they're called limited right obligations or unsecured notes. I post a lot on a website called Bigger Pockets, and people ask me questions all the time. And I'm very familiar with how to analyze a lot of offerings, especially to non-accredited investors, because they go through what's called the Regulation A process. And in order, when we launched ours, I did a lot of research on what other people were doing and understand how to find all this information. And it actually is rare for an offering to do what we do, which is issue shares of preferred equity and have it be, you know, at the lowest level of the capital stack. Many will go buy notes like we do and issue either unsecured notes to the investor or limited right obligations. Now, people will think, oh, I'm in first position, I'm secured. Well, you may be, you may not be, but according to the documents, it's unsecured. Do they have other debt? Do they have other expenses? What does that mean? And when I asked 9 out of 10 people that question, they don't know the answer. And what they thought they were doing is because the website for the sponsor said, we invest in first position secured notes. They just think, oh, I'm owning or getting a piece of that secured note, or I own that specific note. It's not the case. So make sure you're going to invest any type of deal, always, always, always understand what that capital stack look like and understand if somebody's in front of you, what are those terms for them to be in front of you? So Hope you enjoyed this episode, as this is a wrap for another episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. So thank you for joining us on this journey to unlock the full potential of your financial future. We hope today's insights have opened your eyes to new possibilities and helping you take a step closer to your dream of generating passive income and gaining control over your money and securing a comfortable retirement. But please remember, the path to financial freedom, it is not a straight line. But if you have the right guidance and mindset, you can make it a reality. So if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend, leave a review, or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platform, or follow us on YouTube. And when you follow us, you will stay updated on the latest strategies, insights from the world of mortgage note investments. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, keep taking charge of your financial destiny. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.